The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You like that? This is Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Dell.
And Melissa Dell.
And we're in the house.
The haunted house.
So we're recording this a little pre-Halloween, but I think we'll obviously talk about some of our favorite board gaming Halloween-y traditions. We played a bunch of games tonight at Game Night, and we should obviously talk about those. And then we got all kinds of games coming to Kickstarter that we want to cover. So where should we start? What did you and Melissa bring with you tonight, Kevin?
So we brought a few games. One was a birthday present for Melissa. Happy birthday, Melissa.
Aww. She'll have had that by the time this is live,
that's
right?
True.
But you can wish her one now in the comments. Go ahead.
That's fine. We got a Reef from one of our friends, Ben Owen.
Oh, yay!
So he gave us Reef.
Cool.
And it is a game designed by Emerson Matsuuchi. And I know Will played this at Dice Tower.
I did, yeah. Yeah, I got to see it when it was pretty hot off the presses. I don't remember when it actually released, but played it with some friends at Dice Tower and had a good time with it.
And then we pulled it out tonight. And
you hadn't played it before getting here,
no,
right?
That was the first time.
I would say it's a family weight game.
Mm-hmm.
Look forward to taking it to Thanksgiving, playing with family. Personally, I liked certain parts of it. I thought that the pieces looked too childish, and some people were like, "Oh no, once you start playing, it's fine." I'm like, "Nah, they still look like Duplos to me."
It does remind me of whatever that toy is called, where you have like a wire that goes across like in the dentist's office, and then you like slam all the yellow beads across the...
Yeah.
There's probably a name for that. I don't know what the thing's called.
I enjoyed it, even though the pieces are big and plastic.
Yeah, I mean, I think... Well, Will has some good strategy. He's played it before. I think what I was saying is the art, like, the design, I think I would like it more realistic or more, like vibrant and coral colors.
Coral color.
And maybe translucent or something to enhance. Maybe they can come out with a... You know, a collector's edition or something.
Expansion to the Reef.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did kind of enjoy it. It's got a very simple mechanic to it where you're just drawing the pieces to add to your board or you're scoring them or you're doing that at the same time. I have played it a couple times, so I did. You guys had a really tight game. I don't remember what the scores were, but you were all within like 2 points.
44. 41. I had 44.
And intern Dan had 40.
Yeah.
And Will had like 59 or something.
Yeah, yeah. So a little bit of experience does go a long way,
apparently.
Because I don't usually beat Melissa at games, but...
That's because she reads the rules.
While she was learning, I was strategizing.
Yes, you were.
So, yeah, we had fun with that one, and then we also played Chronicles of Crime.
Yes, so...
What? That was hot.
This is the published game from Lucky Duck Games. Melissa and I did a preview of this back probably a year ago, and now we have the actual game. We played the just first scenario, The Power Behind, and enjoyed... playing that?
I think Dan was actually pretty like impressed by it. This is a pretty unique game. If you don't know what it's about, like you have a pair of actual like virtual reality glasses that you wear. You load the app on your phone, and then you like the coolest part about the game is when you get to the crime scene, you get to put on the glasses and like look around the crime scene and experience everything that's going on. Yeah, and you're collecting clues and telling your teammates like, "Oh, I see some papers and a book and a pizza,"
mm-hmm.
and they're all pulling cards that are appropriate to that.
Yeah.
And then you use the QR code scanner that's also on the app to navigate the game. So you're scanning the evidence, you're scanning the people, the
They integrated
criminals.
It so well with a good story, with the good electronic use of the game, how the game uses electronics, and I think it marries board games and electronics well.
Yeah, right. And I think it's interesting that it keeps track of time, not necessarily real time that you take, but if you go to a location, it forwards the game time 20 minutes, or, you know, if you talk to a lot of people and look at a lot of clues, each thing you do adds some time to the game,
mm-hmm.
so you kind of have to keep that in mind, how you could scan every single card, but it's going to take a bunch of time, and then your score is not going to be as good if you do that.
And some things, some elements in the game are actually time sensitive too. Like if you go back to the crime scene at night, you'll run into different people, and they'll say different things based on the fact that the drug dealer isn't there till.
We actually played a different scenario, and the actual room changes. Like the
depending on what your
choices
are.
Depending on what time you go.
Oh.
I was like, ooh, that's cool. That's why I wanted to see when we played it before. I was like, oh, when we go back, it's the same thing. But in the game, they've now made it so it's an actual different scene that you go to, whether it's at night or whether it's a different day or something like that.
The hardest thing for me in the game is to like determine, do I want to just race through it and get the good score at the end and figure it out, or do I want to like talk to every single person and ask them every single variant and see every single room.
Yeah, the game tells you, hey, you should go back and solve the case.
And I'm like, but I want to look at this cool art sculpture more.
So when Melissa and I were walking in, you and intern Dan and Valerie were playing a game?
Yeah, Trickster, Champions of Time. It's a pretty cool little lightweight trick-taking game, but it's got a couple of unique things that are that I haven't really seen in trick-taking games. For one, it's kind of, it's not a deck builder, I don't really know what the right terminology is for this.
Is that a trick-taking game?
It is a trick-taking game. But it comes with like, I don't know, 20 different decks or something of cards, and you're supposed to kind of mix and match which cards you play with during the game. Because while it's about trick-taking, every single card in the game has an action on it that you take. Mm-hmm. And so you are playing your tricks, and your tricks aren't really number value, it's can you match the set or not match the set? And then whoever loses the trick, kind of loses it, gets stuck with all the cards that were in the pot, and then at the end of the round you score based on how many, if you have the lowest number of cards in that suit, you score it. Something like that. It's interesting.
Well, it's from Action Phase, which is now part of Indie Game Studios.
Yeah, all that combination.
So Action Phase, Stronghold Games, and Indie Boards and Cards all are one conglomerate.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but it's a nice little solid one. We had a good, fun time with it. It was quick. Valerie's definitely like our lightest gamer, and I think she had a good time. Dan jumped right in and understood everything, and so it was fun. It was a pretty cool one.
Cool.
I also this weekend played more Ghosts of the Moor.
Oh, here it is.
I'll talk about that one.
From TRG.
Yeah, go for it, Sarah.
Yeah, I learned that one too.
Sarah's here.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah, tell us.
Sarah,
how are you? Welcome.
I'm here.
Sarah Tantrum House.
So I kind of missed game night tonight because I had a meeting.
Working hard.
I did play some games while we went camping this weekend.
Is this our Halloween game?
Yeah.
This is our Halloween
game.
Does
that lead into the Halloween episode action?
Yeah, so Ghosts of the Moor is newly released from Tasty Minstrel Games, and it is a re-implementation of the game That's Life, which I believe was a Spiel des Arts nominee in 2005. So they've added a couple new things to it, and you know, Spiel des Arts usually are pretty great. Solid games. So this one, you are trying to make it through the swamp area of Moor, and when you go through, you have 5 meeples in your group, and when your meeple leaves a spot, all the little spots on the, most of them at least, have a tile, and it's a set collection game, and so when you leave the tile, if you're the only one there, you get to pick up whatever has been left. And so you have to be very strategic on which one you move, which one you pick stuff up. If you land on a space with nothing there, you have to leave something, so you have to give up some of your tokens.
Okay.
So, yeah,
we have to jump right in and just say, hey to Man vs. Meeple, who's watching right now. So, miss you guys.
Hey, joining us.
Hope you're doing well. But, Ghosts of the Moor, sounds cool. You played Jungly Law.
We did, yeah. Which felt kind of similar to me. Like, it's a roll and move. This one actually has a little bit more meat to it, I think. It's more strategic. You have five meeples that you're trying to get to the end. And so, deciding which meeple to move is the key to getting a lot of points in the game. Because it's all about the set collection at the end. And if you lose all your tokens having to pay for the spaces you're on, you lose the game. So, being able to move the right meeple at the right time is the key to that one.
We'll try to go quickly with a couple meeples, and then...
Because there were victory points at the very end, whoever gets there first. Okay.
And then I was able to maximize on the set collection portion, and the score wasn't close at all.
Right, it wasn't. You definitely don't want to race to the end. You want to be smart about your movement. I played it again this weekend in the woods, because we were camping, and it actually was a pretty great camping game.
Oh,
like,
yeah, cool.
It's a small box, There's a lot of meeples, but it wasn't like we were losing components.
So portability is nice because of the small box.
Yeah.
And you feel you're in a play area space.
Yeah, and I think it plays like 5 players.
Okay.
So, yeah, we were able to play it with like a bunch of people at the camp trip. Cool. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is a little fiddly with all of the little tokens and the meeples moving around, but I don't think it would play any better being a bigger board with more space.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
that was my only flaw.
The other thing we also did bust out was Fluff. It's from the makers of Bananagrams.
Fluff.
And it's essentially, it's just liar's dice.
Is this like marshmallow fluff?
Yeah, kind of. No, it's fluff like, you're a liar. You're full of fluff.
So a nicer way to say liar.
Right, exactly. Liar's dice are called
weird.
Bowl, stuffy, magnet clasp. And it's got just
you
cool little plastic cup things to it. And so you roll your dice hidden in the plastic cup. And then that way you can keep your secret, but you can also look at it.
Okay.
I actually liked, the thing that I liked most about it is that I'll admit I have been tempted to cheat before at Liar's Dice. Because you've usually got like a little
you
divider
cheat,
thing.
Will?
Tempted to cheat.
Wait, are you supposed to cheat on Liar's Dice?
Kind of. It's
okay.
Just a lie, but.
Not change
usually,
dice though.
Usually you have your little cover. You roll them, you have your cover screen, you're like, man, if this was a 5 as well, I would have like 9 fives. No one could beat that. That'd be amazing. Too bad this one's not a 5. I really wish this was a 5. In there, you wouldn't be able to cheat. People would see you like fiddling with your little dice. If you change that to a 5?
No, it just flipped.
Right, exactly. So it keeps you honest, and it's got cool illustrations and it's fun. I mean, it's a real, it's Liar's Dice, so it's a just casual game, but it'd be a good like gift for somebody or something pretty cool.
Okay.
But we got to play all kinds of fun stuff this weekend, and there's more to come. But let's take a break for a second and give a shout-out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Soaring Rhino. Their game Mammoth is coming to Kickstarter on November 1st, and it's designed by Jeff and Craig Van Ness. We were able to meet them at Gen Con last year with their game Shifting Realms, and Craig's name might be familiar because he worked on a game called Heroescape. I don't know if anyone knows that one.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk more about Mammoth during our Kickstarter connection.
Oh, I'm going to talk about it right now, but okay, we'll do that in a little bit. So we should probably talk for a couple seconds. This is like the pre-Halloween, coming out of Halloween episode. I think you guys have like a Halloween tradition, don't you, for your
yes, so
gaming
normally
action?
We go over to our friends at the Valancourts, Alan and Karen, and we usually either play Betrayal in the House on the Hill, and that's been like a 10-year tradition, but
that's
we last
impressive.
Year stopped it
what?
And said, why don't we play Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition, which is still
okay.
very...
Very
you know,
thematic.
Very
you're
similar
still on.
To that one,
right.
So you're opening the castle, and, you know, or the...
exploring
to the
yeah.
mansion you're exploring. So we played that, and it was a pretty good, it went over pretty well.
Now, did you guys just play standard Betrayal, House on the Hill for 10 straight years? Was there, like, add-ons or expansions or anything in there?
Nope, just the regular game.
Just the base.
And we always
yeah,
it out.
Because we only played it once a year.
I think
that's
like,
the only time we played it.
I think there's, like, 50 scenarios, and we only did 10. So.
True. that's a good point, actually. our Halloween tradition is usually to host the Halloween party,
yes.
which we're putting plans together for. We're really behind. Normally, we've got like you know crazy decorations and prizes for the creepiest dessert, and we usually have tons of people over. I think we've actually pulled it down just a little bit. We're going to do a Tantrum House Halloween party, so
okay.
it's just everybody that's tied into Tantrum House, and you, our wonderful viewers. And pretend like you're there. And the thing is, we have been swamped. Like, I have no idea what my costume is going to be. Let's vote on that on
well,
Facebook now. And
the
then...
kids. Okay, so the kids.
We're
going to
let Facebook vote on this?
Might
yes.
as well. All right. Guarantees
we usually
do, it,
do a family themed costume, and usually
right.
the neighbor
kids
are. That's
pretty
mom.
Great stuff.
So
yeah.
get ready to vote.
Last
just
year we
so...
were the Avengers. Last
right.
year we were the Avengers.
Or Avengers characters.
Okay.
From the movie.
Yes.
I was Yondu, which was pretty fantastic. Full
oh,
blue.
Oh,
yes.
He was blue.
Well did a good
wow.
Yondu. He was
very
good.
Mohawk.
He was
like red mohawk.
Yes.
He was Mary Poppins all the way.
yes.
It was fun, kind of, applying it.
I saw something.
It
wait, no. The best part was when he was in the shower.
yes.
And
this
he,
is going
he,
on
he
on
like,
Facebook
oh,
just,
do it.
Yes.
did he take a picture or video? Was
it I think it was video. I think I did share it. I had no idea if it was going to come off. I don't even know what it was. We bought like 3 different kinds of product.
Yes.
And there was like blue rub-on paint.
Three different brands of the face paint, because
it wasn't
sure.
All face paint. I had a cream blue stuff that I put on, and it was not thick enough. It was, like, smudgy and gross. And then I tried, like, a blue...
We did that first, and then we just went ahead and sprayed the blue hairspray.
Right, which I was like, it's removable from hair.
It had a base layer.
So I just applied a nice little mist.
Oh, it was a good blue, too.
It was
good for the first hour, and then, like, it started to, like, dry up and crack, like, on all my face wrinkles.
What are our choices for our Facebook watchers for this year?
So, our kids have chosen to be lesser well-known
Avengers
characters. So, I think,
last year they were Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I think we have
Medusa?
No, Star-Lord, because nobody was that last year.
Okay.
We have Ant-Man.
Okay.
We have...
He's still pretty well-known.
Right.
They are,
Spider-Man, maybe, I think is the other one.
The costumes weren't out mass marketed as... we have a Black Panther this year.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody was Black Panther last year. So I think I'm going to be Wasp.
I was going to say, Wasp is a good one.
Because that is the least amount of work for a costume. I can just do black and, maybe some wings.
So what are some choices for Will?
Yeah, I don't know. I need some suggestions. So
kids would like Will to be Doctor Strange.
Ooh.
That would be pretty cool. I could grow this out a little bit longer in the next five days. Right,
wait,
cape.
The
so
cape
watching...
is the issue. I don't want to make a cape, and I don't want to spend more than $20. So
you
might
get one
somewhere probably. We need to go somewhere and see what they got.
Wait, on Facebook, what good Avenger character that's not like top tier, so second tier,
secondary.
Or tertiary.
I'm good with that. Whatever fits me and is cheap to make, that's really the key. And I'm good with spray painting, whatever. I can beat Thanos, shoot it off, spray paint purple this year.
One of the neighbor kids is Thanos.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So we already have a Thanos with an Infinity Gauntlet that lights up.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm supposed to be, right, in addition to the team. And we got a Hulk, too, right?
We have a Hulk.
We have a Rocket.
Oh, we don't have a Rocket. Can I pull off a small raccoon?
Like,
hey, we're Sunny the Bunny.
Right. We have
Sunny. Sunny could just be...
Pim.
Oh, okay. Just go as the professor.
And then Hannah says Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
So
yeah.
I think Doctor Strange would be
a good suggestion.
If you can pull the costume out.
I can definitely get the special effect, like, green thing going in Photoshop later.
Sure.
I was going to do Hermione, but I didn't end up getting any of the pieces.
The scarf, and the, what else do you need?
A cardigan.
And with the tie.
Gotcha. Do you have yours picked out? I think Brian actually has his picked out. I'm not supposed to talk about
Star Trek, I'm sure.
No, it's not.
Really?
I was blown away. He went to Star Trek 2 years in a row. He was like Picard 1 year and then...
Yes, Spock or something.
No, what's the other main captain? Kirk.
Captain Kirk.
Yeah, I think he was Kirk the first year and then Picard the second year. Pretty funny. Pretty funny. So, I don't know where we were going with all that, but vote for some suggestions if you got them. And let's roll from here into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode we'll be talking about 9 games coming to Kickstarter the week of October 29th, 2018. We've got a reveal and write, a deck builder, and several reprints and new additions, and some expansions coming. So Kevin, start us off.
Alright, the first game I want to talk about is Pedigree. We got a prototype of this in the mail a few weeks ago, and it is about breeding animals at for a state fair.
Mm-hmm.
So think like cows and
4-H?
Pigs. What's that?
Like 4-H?
Yeah, like 4-H.
Yeah.
Yeah, think about that. And throughout the game, you're trying to use your cards in a way that will help you get the best animals and be able to breed them to have them birth better animals and things like that. So
sounds fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably up people's alley who are into that,
okay,
like genre. But you're planning and you're breeding and there's gestation and birthing throughout the game.
These are the phases.
There's
to
different,
the game.
These are
okay.
Different phases,
these are
and then you're bringing them all to show. So you're trying to get a trophies, and those trophies going to get help you out. So
what does the artwork look like for this game?
It's very state,
State farmy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
state
that's
farmy.
Nice illustration.
Is it in good hands?
Yeah, so So it plays in about an hour to an hour and a half. It's for 1 to 4 players, and there's a preview video online soon. So check that out. Cool. Melissa, what do you got?
On October 31st, Halloween, All Manner of Evil is coming to Kickstarter. It is designed by Travis Chance and Colossal. I think maybe under their Micro brand is bringing this. It's a game for 1 to 6 players, and it plays in about 30 to 45 minutes. And the idea is that you are thieves breaking into H.P. Lovecraft's house. So you're trying to steal these ancient relics, and as you do that, you sort of awaken forces that are out of your control and are otherworldly. Each player has their own agenda, so you may have an end goal that's slightly different than others. You might be trying to awaken a god, or you're trying to survive the night. The game has some card drafting, set collection, there's simultaneous action selection, and there is some take that and bluffing.
Hmm.
So, sounds interesting, but might not be up my alley.
Right, I sounded intrigued. I felt like that was an interesting combination. What's the artwork look like on that one? Is it pretty creepy? Is it pretty friendly?
It was
both?
Like, not gruesome or anything, but it was mysterious. A lot of darker tones in it. But yeah, it looked pretty cool.
They do pretty good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their production value is good. So that is All Manner of Evil coming on Halloween. Will.
Very cool. I'm looking at Reavers of Midgard coming from Gray Fox Games. It's like a continuation of the story from Champions of Midgard. It's your 2 to 5 player game. Takes about 90 minutes, which sounds about same weight as probably Champions of Midgard. It sounds like it's a lot of the similar mechanics, like single worker placement, with card collection, and you're kind of moving around the board to those different areas to take on different things. The cool addition to the game are the Reavers, which it sounds like you get to pick, let's say you have like 3 different categories in the game where you have like your leaders and your warriors, and you're also like earning income and things like that, and you can kind of use your Reaver to boost one of those 3 things. And I don't know if that's, like, you have to pick and lock it in for the entirety of the game, or if you can kind of move that around as you're playing.
Cool.
But obviously the way you, like, strategize kind of your game goal is going to be based on which of those 3 features you're boosting the powers of using that Reaver. So, sounds like some interesting addition to the game. I really enjoyed Champions of Midgard. It's a really cool, like, gritty-feeling worker placement. You don't think so? Or do you do
I've only played it a couple times, so.
I mean, I feel like a lot of worker placements fall into Melissa's, like, I'm building a shelter or whatever category of worker placement, and this one seems to be, like, I'm just more, like.
Well, you were sending your, like, Viking hordes on,
to
like.
To fight monsters and dragons,
sure.
So a little grittier, and I don't know, just cool.
Well, like Reaver's definitely looks like that, too.
Right, exactly. Maybe even another level higher,
cool.
So. Pretty cool stuff. I don't know what the Kickstarter date is, because I never do, but it's probably Tuesday, so. Check out Reavers of Midgard. Sarah, what are you looking at?
I am looking at a game that's already released, but they are adding some additional stuff to it. And this is Welcome To.
What?
From Blue Cocker Games. It is a reveal and write. And
cool.
This one is got some 1950s, 60s style art. And you have your own little neighborhood subdivision, and you are adding homes to it. You can play with it.
A million people.
Yeah, 1 to 100 players, as long as everybody has their own little paper. And you reveal the goals that you will use for the entire game, and the first person to get those will be able to score additional points above everybody else. And then each round, 3 new cards are revealed, and everyone will choose one of those to add to their little subdivision and try and, you know, lay out everything perfectly to get the most points. And we have enjoyed it. We've purchased this one, and we'll probably have a video coming out possibly at some point for this one. The Kickstarter is going to add a play mat, and it will, they'll have, for those who have already purchased the game, they will have a tier to add on some additional items that didn't come in the first and second editions. So this is coming October 30th. Welcome to.
I feel like we've played a number of Roll and Write, Reveal and Write, Something and Write recently. Mm-hmm. This one still like stands the test of like being heavy enough to feel strategic and like I'm not just getting lucky and you know whatever comes up next I have to deal with, but still being really enjoyable. I think it's maybe a little, it's like a little heavier on the initial explanation because I've played some games where this one has the tendency to like there's so many different things you can write on the board it takes a little while to explain it.
Sure.
But I think I probably still enjoy it the most of the ones that we've played recently.
Yeah, I think there are enough choices that nobody ends up with the same looking.
Or even close.
Even with that many people playing. I think we played a game at Origins when they had some prototypes. And we played with
10
like
or 15 people.
No, I think it was 25.
25?
Yeah, there's
25.
A lot of people around.
We played at 25, and everyone's was different, which
Was
pretty cool. Yep. Kevin, what are you talking about next?
So October 30th, Lucky Duck Games is launching another Kickstarter called Mutants. This game is a deck building game for 2 to 4 players that plays in about 45 to 60 minutes. And in the game, the kind of unique thing of this game is each player has their own set of asymmetrical deck of cards that they are pulling from throughout the game. So I might have certain types of mutants in my deck of cards that I can purchase or buy or mutate throughout the game, and Melissa might have a totally separate deck, and each of them, they're not just different artwork. I mean, the powers are different, the play is different, the actions are different on those cards, and so how you're playing your cards is different to try and win the game, and throughout the game you're trying to breed, trying to match basically two different kinds of mutants together to, you know, grab their different icons that'll help you get a better mutant into your hand, and you're trying to cull your hand to get those better mutants to attack other players, and it's got this cool like power track in the game that you're trying to go up and push other people's down. If you can get up far enough, then if you go up higher, then you just basically keep pushing players down, and it's a really like a push and pull throughout the game. I know Will and Melissa has played it.
Yeah, I thought that part was really interesting because when I first thought, I was like, oh, I can only get like a 6-point lead on these guys. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, if you push them all the way to the bottom, I think that immediately ends the round.
If you can make it back to your turn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like being able to push yourself closer and push them away is really satisfying.
I mean, yeah, it's a definitely a tacky type game. I think people have to be aware of that going in. But for me, knowing that it's going to be an attack type game, it's okay.
Did you say attacky or tacky?
Attacking.
I was like, I didn't think it was tacky.
No, attacking. An attacking type game.
The other thing, and I don't know if you just said this, sorry, I wasn't paying attention, but...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. When you pick which, like, lane your cards go into, that seems like a really interesting part of the deck building thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you take an action, you put your card on the board, and then it either pushes the card you played last time into, like, the right lane or the left lane, I don't remember what the titles are for that. But this, and you take the action for what you get when you put the card into motion, and then you also get a different action when you pull that card out. So there's lots of strategy in like, okay, if I lay this one here, and then play this one second, and then whatever, mind-blowing, crazy, good stuff.
Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting part of the game. The, and I'm trying
Tracks.
To remember the terms,
remember. Yeah.
But there's the action you get when you lay the card down, and then there's a different action when it comes out of the arena, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to, what they call, freeze certain
mm-hmm.
mutants for points, and so they're not in your hand anymore, now they're in your point stack, basically.
Game,
so choosing when to let that powerful mutant stay in your deck so you can keep using it, or when you want to freeze it so you can get points for it.
Cool. Melissa, you're next.
Okay. On November 1st, is Mammoth.
Hey!
And this is our game from our sponsor, Soaring Rhino.
Woo-hoo!
Mammoth is a 2 to 4 player tile laying game, and it actually has 2 modes of play. It has a competitive version and a cooperative version. We actually have a playthrough video of the competitive version.
Yes.
And Kevin and I also did a preview video, so we have two videos for this game on our channel that you can watch. But basically, each player has a mammoth meeple figure, however you want to call it. And you are laying tiles to try to expand their biome and the different flowers that are there, basically what they're going to eat. And there's four different colors, and if you start off on the pink color, you want to keep expanding pink to get more area for your mammoth. You can also claim paths for points. And based on how you lay the tiles and where you move your mammoth, you're going to score points if you don't have to backtrack over different tiles. I like that you have a hand of tiles, so you have choices during your turn. It's not just, oh, I draw a tile and I have to play that tile. I think we all have played it. Anybody have some thoughts on Mammoth?
I liked the concept of the art a lot. Like, the board itself is really dark and dreary, like Ice Age has come, or like a volcano erupted or something, I don't know, it just looks very dark. And then as you move your pretty heavy mammoths across the board, they spread these super intensely bright flower tiles. And At first I didn't really love that, but they've carried it over so well in all of the theme. Like, the box cover has the same concept going on, where the mammoth has this like trail of beaming happy light. So it seems like a, like, it's just got this nice hopeful aesthetic. Can you have a hopeful aesthetic?
Yeah.
That's what it
is. In a game like Carcassonne, in a tile laying game, you're trying to, you know, lay your tiles to help, you know, score points. And how you do that with cities or whatever like that is, could mean you're trying to do your own thing. Whereas in Mammoth, sometimes you're trying to get near another player to try to connect to their patch so that you can basically help yourself get more points. I think that was an interesting way of, like, strategy.
Right, yeah, there's a mechanic where if you lay a tile that grows your flower patch and someone else's flower patch, then you get to put a 3-point token down. So there is that strategy with where you place your tiles, and if you end up getting completely surrounded, you take your mammoth off, you score, and then you can start in a different spot, which might already have some tiles connected to it. So there are different strategies on how you can get your mammoth across the board. Kevin and I played the cooperative game, and in that you have certain goals you're trying to meet, and instead of just being able to play any tile you want on your turn, you actually draft action cards that tell you you play an octagon tile or a square tile. You have to play it on yourself, or you have to play it on another player. So it gives you more constraints. We did not win.
But I think we could in the future.
It significantly harder, or
was it harder? Just like the certain objectives are, by the time the game ended, we couldn't complete that objective just because we needed a 16-point path. Or something's like, oh, we only got to like 14 or something. I was like,
But that's usually a good sign that you don't win a cooperative the first time.
Yeah.
Like, I like, you know, building up towards.
Yeah. So I think it definitely takes a different type of strategy for the cooperative game to meet those very specific goals.
Interesting.
But that is Mammoth from Soaring Rhino, and it is coming November 1st. Will, what do you have?
So I'm looking at Project Elite, which is from Artipia Games, and I think CMON is publishing the newest version of it, or republishing it.
Reprint.
It looks like there's been a bunch of different expansions for it. I've never played the game, but it's a mini-game dice battle combat with cards and all kinds of cool-looking stuff. The new version of the game will have all new miniatures, new card designs, new weapons, new art.
They're CMONing it out.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Like, they've taken a game that has been apparently pretty popular because it looks like there are a bunch of different versions. And they're decking it out. It's a real time game, I guess, which is pretty cool. I haven't played it, but you're like a force of elite warriors who are trying to stop these aliens, and you do it in like 2-minute rounds where you are trying to take out as many waves of aliens as you can. So I think you're revealing cards from the deck, rolling dice against them to try to beat them, and it's like fast paced, but yet you have these tactical rounds where you are facing these different scenarios and trying to keep the aliens from taking over the Earth. So
October 30th.
Yeah, 1 to 4 players. It says about 30 minutes, which is pretty short for a mini game, or for a game with minis in it. Usually,
it's a mini game.
Something, yeah. Normal size minis that you play in a mini amount of time, because of the real time part of it. So, pretty interesting. Project Elite. Sarah, what are you looking at?
Coming October 31st on Halloween is Crossmaster Blast. This is from Ancoma Games. And this is another one in the lineup of the Crossmaster universe.
Mm-hmm.
This one mixes some tactical combat and area control. So you are trying to defeat your opponent. It is a two-player game only, and it plays in about 30 minutes. This one will have new, unique miniatures with differing abilities, and it comes with a new map, and you will have some different elements that'll be three-dimensional elements that'll be out on the map while you play. So this one, if you've played the Arena or Arena 2.0, this is the next one in line. Kevin, what do you got?
I wanted to mention before we closed out one more game on November 1st, unless Will was going to take it. If you are a fan of Munchkin from Steve Jackson Games, they've come out with a lot of different versions, of course. Munchkin Steampunk is a pretty popular one, and they're coming out with an expansion called Girl Genius. So you can check out the expansion for Munchkin Steampunk on November 1st.
Oh, so I didn't actually even understand that. Steampunk Munchkin is already out.
Yes.
And this is an expansion to the
to that.
Oh, okay.
Now, is Girl Genius actually a...
Steampunk?
IP?
Oh, maybe.
I think there might be a comic or something.
Knowing Steve Jackson, I'm sure it is. So.
Yeah, interesting. The steampunk one, like, I am a huge fan of steampunk stuff, but that one didn't quite get me. I don't know. I don't know what the why, but I like steampunk stuff, and that one seemed a little different to me. But Girl Genius, maybe. Interesting. I'll have to check it out.
Very cool.
All right, well, that wraps up all of our Kickstarter conniptions on this episode, and I think we have a Tantrum House timeout with Larry.
It's the 60-second Tantrum House timeout.
Why would you even play this game?
Where we save you from playing the games that you wish you never played. Here's your host... Larry the Intern.
This week on The Timeout, we're exposing A Dog's Life by Betten Games. As a general rule, I avoid games that haven't been published, but this game deserves a big fat exception. The creators of A Dog's Life claim that it's a game for dog lovers everywhere, but it's likely that no one will be able to enjoy this game at all. Why? Betten Games hasn't shipped to its backers since being funded last year. More than 51 grand, and you may not ship until 2019? Congrats, you're marked for life, Betten. Move along. Besides, this game's premise is flawed. It claims to be the only game in the market that lets players become a dog. Hello, you'll wonder why? Yeah, about that. I'm totally cool not drinking in toilet water, sniffing butts, and digging through garbage heaps for lunch for fun. Backers, I hope you get your money back soon, and Benton, good luck ever publishing another game. And listeners, if you're really interested in playing A Dog's Life, might I recommend the European version that published in 2001, apparently a success. Oh, rating for Dog's Life, you ask. Not worth my time. Hey, if you've got a game you want to hear on The Timeout, let us know in the comments or on Facebook. See ya.
I want to, like, bark or something. I don't know what I should do. Thank you, Larry. A Dog's Life, huh? Now, I've actually heard some not great things about their Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah, so the game itself has already published the game. They came to Kickstarter to basically have some, like, extra, like, deluxe miniatures and some other things.
Seeing the dog minis. I think that was something that people were talking about a year ago or something.
And maybe, like, have them painted and stuff like that.
Okay.
Well, anyway, that was back in September 2017.
Mm.
And, like, it's been, not silent, but it's been, like, well, the miniatures weren't what we wanted, and to date, the people who have backed the Kickstarter haven't gotten it.
Oh,
so
that's at least a year out. Is that?
I mean, it's over a year now.
A year.
So they say Q4 with 2018, I might guess something.
When is Q4? Are we in that yet?
No.
Not quite.
October, November, December.
Yeah, I guess we are. The miniatures are difficult, and there's a lot of
money.
Yeah,
but the game is already done, is what people say. It's like, all you had to do was this one thing.
Right.
But if you've never done it before, I can see how it could be really difficult.
Supposedly, they had big names behind it. Like, they were talking about, like, we have done stuff for McDonald's and, like, all this other stuff. It's like, anyway, it seems like Larry might have picked a good one this time.
Yeah.
It's better than Patchwork. Oh.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about Patchwork.
Yes. Larry, we're still angry at
you. The bitterness is still cut-worthy with a knife. Right.
Every time he comes over, he just has to go in the corner. He is put in timeout.
With the game Patchwork, he just has to hold it while he sits there until he loves it. You want to learn to love this game.
So a lot of the games that we talked about on the podcast, Mutants and Pedigree and Mammoth and others, we actually will have a preview or other types of videos on our YouTube channel, so you can check those out. Some other ones that I know Will and Sarah are working on are Welcome to Dino World.
Yes.
Which we'll probably talk about next episode.
Okay.
That's another
Rollin' Right. Yeah.
Rollin' Right.
An Extraordinary Pirates.
Yeah,
I've played that a bunch of times so far.
So you have something to look forward to next podcast episode.
Yeah. One thing we didn't talk about during our Tantrum Kickstarter Condition segment was, what is our Kickstarter of the week?
Ooh.
And I don't know what it is. We're in that same boat we were last week, where we had two narrowed it down.
That's true. Two choices. Maybe we can talk to Facebook again.
Yeah, they gave us good suggestions last week.
They did.
I think we had it narrowed down to...
Mutants.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Project Elite Reprint.
Yeah.
So
if you have any feedback, let us know what that is. We'll be announcing that. Usually we'll announce our Kickstarter of the week on Wednesday, but we obviously are doing a lot of thinking as we lead up to it. And if you're on Facebook right now and you want to give us your feedback, then chat us to which ones you think we should promote. Both really solid companies, both really solid looking games. Mutants we talked about, and, well, we talked about both of them. Elite, you guys are all staring at each other.
Or Mammoth.
What?
Oh, man.
Just got harder.
I know. I think I know which one I would vote for. Should we do a quick vote between the four of us again?
I'm ready.
All right,
I mean, I played two. I haven't played the other one, so...
That always does make me lean one way or the other.
Yeah, you haven't played Project Elite, is what you're saying?
Right.
No. Yeah, well, it doesn't really matter, so... All right.
It does.
All right, are we...
I don't know.
Why are we doing this?
I'm just doing this for... I've got my rock, paper, scissors hand rings. I'm going to go one, two, or three. And then...
Is this Mutants?
Oh, okay. Now I was going to say I'll determine the number after I see who voted.
Well, cheating.
Mutants, Mammoth, or Project Elite.
Strategies.
Mutants, Mammoth, or Project Elite.
Okay, ready? One, two, three, go. Yep, that sounds more.
All right.
Yay, Mutants wins it. I got to play Mutants at Dice Tower Con with the guys from Lucky Duck, and that was just... It was super cool. Obviously, anytime you can play with a designer, it makes it more fun. Actually, I don't know. Is he the designer, Vince?
I don't know.
Who's the designer over behind it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then maybe I played with him, too.
Someone else.
Yeah. Was
there's
it Daryl?
Two designers.
Wait. Is it Daryl?
No.
Somebody Google that.
Yeah.
I played with a bunch of people. It was really fun, and I've enjoyed just the unique mechanics that are in it. So.
Yeah. Well, they are the winners for Kickstarter of the Week.
Good job, Soaring Rhino. Nope, not Soaring Rhino. Lucky Duck.
Lucky Duck. Lucky Duck.
See, too many brains and companies.
Soaring Rhino was really close. Runner up.
It was.
Second place. Only lost by one vote because it would have been split.
The other, Jesse Wright is
Jesse Wright, other
designer for Mutants. Lucky Duck Games.
Well, cool stuff. Sarah will send an email out
soon.
We'll let them know they've been selected and we'll promote that on Kickstarter.
Yeah,
and
Will made a cool new seal for that Kickstarter of the week.
Those have been getting good responses. So.
We have.
Yeah, now I need to start working on the game of the year.
Yeah.
I don't know, can we have like 15 games of the year?
Yeah, we're in different categories.
Right? With 15 categories.
So we can break it out to like favorite Euro for three
Melissa.
Players versus cubes.
We can have categories like that. There's no
reason.
We have
20 categories?
That would be hilarious if it was. Like.
Every category?
No, just general, it's like most innovative game, or best four-player game that uses cubes.
Right? I think these are things that people need to be awarded for, so.
That'd be fun.
We'll figure it out. Thank you guys so much for joining us for another fantastic episode. Enjoy your Halloween, be safe, have lots of fun, and play some board games. Catch you guys next week.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast.
If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss?
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.